Praise the Lord.
They're still talking.
Amen.
Okay, I got an invite in the in my mail from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. But actually, it was addressed to Baron Henderson. And it said, "Hi, Baron. Congratulations on making the USAPL Masters National Team to compete at the IPF World Masters Championship October the 1st to the 6th in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia." I'm probably just wrecking that name. Attached is your invite. Please respond no later than June 17th to accept or decline your spot. Please confirm receipt." Now, I'm sure you responded. So for those that don't know, he won the, I guess, the state. He won the nationals, which, okay, I'm sorry, wrong way to say it. The national championship in powerlifting. And what was your height? I know he got to 727 pounds, which is an awful lot. So he can move a chair if you need anything moved. Baron definitely is a power lifter. So that's just, we're proud of Baron and his trainer, Char. Y'all want to stand up? And we just, there's Char, his trainer. This is Baron. Praise the Lord. Great men of God. They hold Bible studies as they lift weights. Praise the Lord. They do. They really do.
Amen.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. All right. Okay, so I have some praise reports. This first one says, "Thurman and staff, I praise God for you all the time. We pass you along constantly. Several months ago, I embarked on a journey for the gift of healing. You have taught me it is all about faith. I have listened to you a lot in the last few months, and yesterday I felt faith. I cannot explain that. My 10-year-old daughter, who loves you, came to me because she had hiccups. She has them a lot and cannot get rid of them. I laid my hand on her belly, and as I talked to God in Jesus' name, I felt faith. It was amazing. Her hiccups stopped immediately. Twice more yesterday evening she came to me, and both times with the same results. I know it is a small thing compared to all you've seen and done, but I am so excited because I know that this faith is growing in me and will continue to grow. There's so much I want to tell you, but I know you don't have time to read it all. So for now, may God just pour on you with every blessing you need. Gail."
Amen. Praise God.
Okay, there's a picture of a young man, Lynette Garcia. Okay, there's this picture, as you can see. This young man, he had that breakout over his entire body from head to toe. Says, "Healing. Sharon," who's not here today, she was here yesterday, "prayed for my son who had a rash due to a medicine reaction, and God healed him. The doctors were amazed at the miracle God had done. His skin is almost completely healed. He had that rash from his feet to his neck, so glory to God, for he has done it."
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. That doesn't look like a lot of fun. Okay, and then the next one is a young boy that we want to put up his graduation. Okay, "Dear Pastor Thurman and Cheryl," this is Connor Gray. There he is right there. "Like many other parents, we were blessed to celebrate our son's high school graduation last week. Our tears, however, were simply tears of joy, joy that filled our hearts with gladness and praise to our Almighty Father. 1 year ago, we stood before you in a prayer line in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Our hearts were heavy with concern for our son Connor, who was battling depression and suicidal thoughts. Thank you for being the hands of Jesus that day. You held our hands as you prayed in faith that Connor would be delivered. God honored your prayers, our prayers, and many prayers from Jenny from the ministry center. Although Connor is still a work in progress, he is a changed young man. He came home from his first college class today filled with excitement about his future in photography. God has blessed him with a beautiful talent, and he has blessed us with a wonderful relationship with our son again, a son who once again enjoys life. Even during some of Connor's darkest days, he often joined us for our family's evening prayer. That prayer has included your name, Pastor Thurman, for almost 2 years. Many continued blessings for you and your ministry, Jim, Lori, Connor, and Taylor.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I didn't tell y'all, when I read it to him, he started crying. Then he made me cry.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's wonderful to be attached to the tree of love. I'm telling you, if you're attached to the tree of love that Dave talked about a while ago, and this is a commandment that I give you as my children, that you love one another. That's the only commandment, really, that God gave you. When I kept thinking, like Dave's talking about all these different commandments and the law and grace and all this stuff, when I got to John 15, John 13, John 15, all through the book of John, I kept coming up on this, I command you to love one another. I thought, Lord, why is that so hard? Why is it that why can't you just say it one time and it's a done deal? But he said it about seven times there in those few chapters. And I didn't get it. So why should I think you should get it? So finally, I just said, Lord, I gotta have wisdom. You said, any man lack wisdom, let him ask you. I gotta know, just like Dave did, I gotta know which commandments do I keep? What do I do that I get my prayers answered? What do I need to do? And I kept reading. This commandment I give you, that you love one another. I finally decided, that's it. There's only one. There's really only one. If you love each other as Christ loves you, you have met all the requirements. All you got to do is walk in love. Now, when you walk in love and you do what he says by walking in love, you'll find a place in the scripture where he says, so your faith works by love. Yes. Which means if I'm out of my love walk, am I going to get a prayer answered?
No.
No, they're not going to get answered. They only get answered on the side where I'm walking in love. Yes. And so when I learned that, I thought, wow, Lord, help me, because I know it's impossible in my own strength to walk in love all the time. You only got one real enemy, and that's the flesh. The flesh will do everything it can to see that you do not walk in love. The flesh, I'll get you. I forgive you, but don't you ever do that again. I'm keeping records. Now, you ain't walking in, that's why you don't get your prayers answered. You got to forgive. You got to walk in love. You got to love. It doesn't make a difference what happens. You got to be able to put your arm around somebody and love them. I mean, you see somebody in the grocery store, you say, well, yeah, I forgive her or him or whatever. But you happen to look down the aisle, and there she is standing at the aisle. And you think, well, instead of going down there and tell her I love her, I'll go this way and maybe I'll miss her. You're not walking in love. You're not walking in love. If you walk in love, you'd say, oh, my goodness, let me go down and tell that lady how much I love her. Amen. And that I love her. And the enemy will tell you, don't do that. Don't do that. And usually we listen to the enemy. Now, when we listen to the Lord and listen to his word, we can pray in faith. I mean, it's amazing. Yesterday at the healing school, and we're going to go over some of these promises. You know, if Jesus told you that you could do anything in his name, in fact, let me take you to one of those John scriptures. John 14, John chapter 14, John 14, 12. That's where I'm wanting to go, John 14, 12. I want you to look at the promise that God made you as his son. He made this to everybody. John 14, 12. And I want Cheryl, as y'all look at it, I want Cheryl to read John 14, 12, just that one verse.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Okay, there's got to be a problem or a disconnect somewhere, because if you take a promise that powerful and you got a problem and you can't solve your problem, you're not walking in love. You're not walking in love. So if you walk in love, you can pray. What did God say there in John 14, 12? You could ask for? Anything. And he said, if you ask, it will happen. So if that's true, and it is true, if it is true, then why in the world is so many people in this world got so many problems they can't resolve? Well, they're obviously not asking. They're obviously not believing that scripture. But we have needs everywhere, do we not? Everywhere needs. I mean, since we were talking about Barron a few minutes ago, I want you to know that this young man, in his lifting the weights and practicing and everything, about, I don't know, a year ago or whatever it was, he may have to correct me, but about a year ago, whatever, he was lifting those heavy weights, and he was lifting that 727 pounds, and as he went up with it, it broke his leg. I don't know if it was the right leg or left leg. Your right kneecap? It absolutely, he had so much weight on his body that weight just busted his kneecap. I mean, 727 pounds is a lot of weight. I mean, that's like picking up a car. You know, but he could do that. But the doctors didn't have any good report, did they? You're probably never going to lift those kind of weights again, never. Things ain't going to go, but you believe the Lord. So some way, somehow, in believing God, he got over into that love walk. When he stepped into that love walk, he started praying and believing, and it wasn't but just a little while until he was back up where he always was. In fact, a year later, whatever it was, that you just went to those nationals, you picked up that 727 pounds again, didn't you? Doctor says this is impossible. Outside of the love walk, it is impossible. But if you can stay in that love walk, it'll work every time. Now then, I'm going to show you some of the times the needs. We have a young lady here in the group today that she's been sick about 20 or 30 years of her life and couldn't get healed. And another one of the young ladies that goes to church here works at the same place that she does. And she told her about this place, and so she started coming here. And she learned how to walk in that love walk. And she was prayed for, but it didn't happen overnight. People don't learn how to walk in love overnight. They have to stay with it. And you have to have somebody continually telling you the love walk is for the answer. You've got to walk in love. If you want to be healed, you've got to walk in love. She finally believed and was prayed for. In fact, I think Mike and Gracie was the one that prayed for her, I think. They were teaching her how to walk in love. And when she got that, for the first time in 20 or 30 years, all of her pain in her body went away. And she was completely healed. Well, she's been walking in that love walk until the other day. There was a little something slipped up on her, and something happened. I'm not sure. I don't even know what it was. She may not even know what it was. But there's something happened to get her out of her love walk just a little bit somewhere, because she slipped and fell and hit her face on the concrete. And her husband brought a picture and wanted me to pray for his wife. And we did. And I want her to come up and tell us what happened. Paula, would you come and tell us what happened? Tell us what good things God did. Hold that up close to your mouth.
Okay. Well, hopefully most of y'all have heard my testimony about being totally and completely healed of fibromyalgia, which is a miracle in itself. But the other day I was at work. Well, I was going into work, and I had my hands full of stuff, and I was walking on the cement, and I just fell. I mean, I didn't just like fall. I fell flat, straight out. Busted my face. If my eyeglasses wasn't on, it would have just took my, I don't know what it would have done. But anyway, I hit my knees. My hand was just, the flesh was tore all the way back. That's the picture he showed you. Yeah. And I missed the curb by my head by maybe 2 inches. Wow. So anyway, because when I went to fall, I knew I was going to fall, so I put my hands out, and I went about 3 steps, and then I just ate the cement. Well, a security guard inside came running out, and he said, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And, of course, you know, you're kind of dazed and everything. You know, I'll be 62 very shortly, and I'm thinking, what'd I break? That's the first thing I thought of. What did I break? I broke something. I know. Forgive me, Lord. But anyway, that's what I thought. So anyway, but I looked down and there was just blood. I ripped my elbow, my hands. I was just bleeding everywhere. So anyway, I did, because, you know, I'm from the old school. I went inside and cleaned myself up the best I could, and I worked all day, because that's what you do for my generation. And I went in there, and all day long I was like, it's just getting, I was swelling bigger and bigger and bigger. And stoving up, I could hardly walk. I was thinking, oh my gosh, what have I done? And, you know, of course, you know, devil starts messing with your mind. I'm thinking I done knocked something out of line or did something. By the time I got home, I called my husband Rick, and I told him, I've hurt myself really bad. And he said, what happened? And I told him. So anyway, so he prayed and I prayed and everything else, and days went by. It was 3 days before Sunday. Well, he came to church that Sunday, and I'm still at home just like, just wanting to crawl places. I didn't want to walk. So he came in from church, and he said, Pastor prayed for you. He said, I showed Pastor the picture, and Pastor prayed for you. As soon as he said, Pastor prayed for you, from that forth on, it was just like I was never even hurt.
Wow.
Now, I know Jesus did it.
Absolutely.
But because of what I know in my heart about Pastor Cheryl, the people in this church, I tell everybody in this church, if you ever come, just like Betty tried for a year to get me to come here, if you ever come once, you'll feel like you know everybody all your life, their family. And so with him just saying that Pastor prayed with him, I knew right then, if I'd done something, and I kept saying, Lord, forgive me for whatever it is, I knew then that with him in agreement, it was a done deal. And it was a done deal. So that was my testimony.
Amen. Isn't that amazing how God answers our prayers? We have all these wonderful these wonderful promises that he gives us that ought to make us want to walk in love with everybody. Because that scripture in John 14 that Cheryl read a while ago, John 14:12, I want us to look at that one more time. I want to see what God said we could do. So read that, honey, one more time.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Walking in love, so you can get your prayers answered. What is wrong? What is wrong? You know, we in fact, I had a man here at the healing school yesterday said, I have a question to ask. He says, I go to a certain church in the Metroplex, big church. I mean big. And he said, this pastor had a problem the other day, serious problem, and they thought he was going to die. He thought he was going to die. He told his wife and children goodbye. He thought he was that close to dying. But he said, were you praying for him? I said, after I heard he had the problem, I prayed for him. He said, everybody was praying for Pastor. He said, our whole church was praying for Pastor. He said, we were all praying, and said, churches all over the Metroplex and even outside were praying, but it's like we're not getting any answers. He said, how did you pray? When you heard about it, how did you pray? I said, well, this is what I always do when I pray. Father, according to John 14, or John 23, John 20:23, I'll get it right in a minute. According to John 20:23, I forgive his sin. Now I want you to look at that as I take you through this. John 20:23, I want you to look at this scripture. And so many people have a problem with this. I mean, they have a problem with this. But I want you to see what the Word of God literally says. Now, Cheryl, honey.
Whosoever sins ye remit or forgive, they are remitted or forgiven unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
Okay. If Jesus, which said he had power on earth to forgive sin, do you remember seeing him read that? So that you may know that I, the Son of God, that I have power to forgive sin, I do the same thing Jesus said. Did Jesus say I could do the same things he does?
Yes.
If I can do the same things Jesus did Jesus say he forgave the man's sin?
Yes.
So I said, this is the way I pray. I said, I used to not get very many prayers answered. Until I learned sin was the problem, because God the Father does not hear the prayer of a sinner. If you're living in some kind of sin, if you're outside of your love walk, forget it. The door's closed. You can't get an answer. Yeah, that's for sure. Even if you got a problem with your spouse, I mean, if you're not walking in faith. Like Paula, when Paula told you her story about what happened just a few years ago, probably 2 or 3 years ago, Christmas, Cheryl and I have been over to her daughter and son-in-law's house for dinner for Christmas. And when we came back, we had cake left over and foods left over. And so Cheryl said, I'm going to take this and put it in the refrigerator. And I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and go to bed because it's after midnight. So I started back there, and I got to the bedroom, and I'm there a minute, and all of a sudden I hear this, my phone ring. And I answer the phone, and I hear this little voice on the other end say, honey, I'm hurt. I just barely heard it. I thought, that's Cheryl. Wonder what happened. So I go running back through the ministry center. Come running back to get back here where she's at. As I come through the ministry room up here, I almost step on her. She's laying there on the floor. I kneel down beside her and I said, what happened? She said, I tripped and fell. And I thought about Paula, same thing. As Paula tripped and fell, she went forward. She's throwing her body out there and her head hit the ground, you know, and y'all heard her tell the story. It messed her up pretty good. You know what? 65 or 67 or whatever. Because Paula said didn't she say she was about 60?
I'll be
62. 62. So you and her are pretty close to the same age.
Not exactly.
Well, you're 8 years older than her. Okay. But that's okay. They're both good, still well-reserved girls. They're very young. They get around. They can do things. But I said, anyway, whenever I heard that little voice, and I go running back there, and I nearly run over her, and I see her laying on the floor, I kneel down beside her, and I said, what happened? She said, I tripped and fell, and I hit my knee, and it's hurting. I hit my hand, jabbed it into the wall, hit my face on the floor, hit my head on the concrete floor, just about like Paula. All on the right side. So anyway, I mean, I'm trying my best to walk in that love walk. So walking in a love walk, you can have whatever you say with your mouth if you believe it with your heart. That's an awesome statement. Awesome statement. But it's there. So I knelt down beside Cheryl and I said, in the name of Jesus, I began to rub my hand on her leg and her foot and her face, her shoulder and everything, her head. And she said, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command there be no bruising. No bruising. I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus. Now, Jesus said, I can have whatever I say. If I'm walking in love, what am I going to do? Call 911?
No.
That's what we do. That's what we do. We call 911. We never dream about, we have the power in us in this new covenant to heal the sick, to make people whole. So anyway, it was difficult for Cheryl, as much as she stays in the Word and everything with me, but her voice and everything wants to go that I'm hurt. I know I'm going to have a knot on my head. She was having all kinds of problems. And I told her, I said, honey, don't voice that. I said, I spoke faith, and I spoke that your body would be healed with no bruises. And she said it again. When she did, I slapped her on the backside, and I, like a disobedient child, I slapped her on the backside, and I said, don't say that. Do you hear me? I said, you're healed, and you have no bruises. I guarantee it, girl, no bruises. So she said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Now she's beginning to get a hold of the love walk. So I reached down, pick her up, take her and put her in my arms. And she said, well, I'm going to look at my head when I get to the bathroom, see how bad the knot is. I said, there's no knot. There's going to be no knot. Do y'all see why it's so difficult to walk in this love walk? It's almost impossible to do this. I mean, for all of us. So anyway, I continued to pray over her, and when I got in there, I told her, I said, honey, look, there's no bruise on your forehead. And she looked, and she's looking in the mirror, and she said, boy, you're right, there is no bruise. I can't believe. I said, no, don't you. And I'm going to really have to stay with it to stay in my love walk. I mean, everything will go against you when you start trying to walk in love. Everything. When the devil told Jesus, just let me put some hurt on Job's flesh. Any man will do anything for his flesh. Is that what he said? Isn't that amazing? We do anything for our flesh. Instead of walking in faith, when we walk in faith, it's no problem. So as we continued, I rubbed on her and rubbed her head and her hip and her leg and said it's healed in Jesus' name, because Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe with my heart, I can have it. Is that what he said?
Yes.
So why don't we use those? Why don't they work for us? Well, that's exactly right. We don't believe them. We don't believe. We don't walk in our love walk. We get even with people and not walk in love. We do everything wrong. And so we have these wonderful, awesome promises, and you try to make them work, and they don't work. So after you do that one time, you think, well, that must have been for those people back yonder. No, it's always been for us when we walk in faith. So anyway, after a little while, I saw that everything was well in hand. Jesus had done a great job on fixing Cheryl's body, and so I just go crawl back into bed. She continues to look in the mirror and everything for a little while, and she's just awestruck. And she comes in and crawls in the bed and snuggles up under me and she says, honey, I am so glad I'm married to you. That's the way it should be for every one of us. I should be able to walk like that all the time. But I'm a human being too. And do you get out of your love walk once in a while? Oh, you do, huh? Everybody gets out of their love walk. So as soon as you get out of that love walk, you need to repent. Lord, I repent. When you say, Lord, I repent, he puts you back in grace. You no longer have fell from grace. Because whenever you got out of your love walk, you fell from grace. You added something to your life besides Jesus Christ. And so, but to think, that's scripture, John 20:23. Whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. So anyway, I told this gentleman that was here yesterday, I don't know if he's here today or not, but yesterday he was here, and he said we were all praying for a pastor, and it looked like we were going to lose him. He said, why does God not answer prayer? I said, we're not walking in our love walk. Now, isn't it terrible to have a church that has 10,000, 20,000, 50,000, whatever, people in it, and you can't find one single man or woman that can walk in love? Because if that Mark 11:23, he clearly said, whatever we ask for and say in prayer, with believing we shall receive it, right?
That's right.
And he did say that, how many of his promises are yes?
All.
Where does that sound?
2 Corinthians 1:20.
Uh-huh. Just think, if 2 Corinthians 1:20 says that all the promises of God are yes, and in him, amen. No, that's in Ephesians.
Oh.
Yeah. Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him that can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can think or imagine, according to the power, the love, let's convert, let's change that love walk from power to love, because love is power. Without love, there is no power. You can't do anything without love. And so, walking in love. So when you realize these promises are there, and all you got to do is walk in love. Now, if you can walk in love, that means that every prayer that you pray is going to get an immediate result. I think about a man that's one of the greatest men of faith that ever walked on this earth besides our Lord himself. This man was an Englishman from England, and that he died at the age of 87. But this man walked in. The things I noticed, and he never wrote a single book. He never read a book. He only read the Bible. That's the only book he ever read, was the Bible. He didn't read anything else. But every book that was written about him, which was many, the men that wrote about this gentleman, the one thing I noticed as I read these books, here's a man that walks in power. I mean, when he says something, it happens. I mean, I just think about when they're coming to England, from England to the U.S., and they're on a ship, and it's just terrible weather. I mean, the fog is, I mean, they're having to just creep along because of the icebergs. And he finally goes up to the captain's office. He says, sir, if this continues, are we going to be late for my meeting in New York? And he said, yeah, we're going to be several days late. See, he says, well, he says, we better find a place and pray. The captain said, well, let's go to my office. He said, okay. So he goes to his office, and this man rebukes the weather, commands the thing to clear up, for everything to be perfectly clear, in Jesus' name. And then the captain said, well, okay, that's all you're going to say? He said, that's all I need to say. Captain said, well, let me pray. And I said, no, you would pray in unbelief. I don't want you to open your mouth. I said, if you'll just open the door and look outside. The captain reached up and opened the door, and it was clear blue sky as far as you could see. The captain turned to the man and said, sir, I need to know this God that you know. I do not know him. So this man had the privilege to lead that captain to Christ right there on the ship. And you wonder, how many people do you know that's got that kind of faith? Not very many. It's like that little boy out there when I teach these principles about walking in love. And we was out in California, and there was a couple from Oregon, or Washington one, came down to California to the meeting. And I told the story about a woman and a boy that had started on a trip to Hawaii, and that on the trip to Hawaii, the seas got really rough, and everybody was getting sick. And this little boy had been listening to my teachings about the authority we have in Jesus' name. So he went to his mother and he said, mother, everybody's getting sick on the ship. Let's go up on the deck and let Jesus take care of this. This is a 10-year-old boy. This is our problem. We're too well trained. So he goes up on the deck and he walks over to the edge to the rail. He said, mother, this is the way Jesus did it. He said, father, in Jesus' name, I command the seas to be still. Peace be still in Jesus' name. And that mother told me when she sent me the report, that in 15 minutes that sea was as calm and smooth, as level as the floor. You couldn't get an ocean of water that's throwing a ship up to be that smooth except God do it. That's the only way you could do that. But he knew that he had power and authority, and the little 10-year-old boy was walking in love. We need to become like these little children, right? Yeah, yeah. We need to walk in that love. So when we speak to the ocean, but you know what most of us do when you speak, like just like that deal that happened with Cheryl? There's lots of people, several people, good Christian people, that as I told that story about her, some of them says, my gosh, Cheryl, at your age, why didn't you just call 911? That's the way we think. We think about calling 911. We don't think. Why do we not think to do it God's way? The promises of God belongs to you and me. And if we can learn to walk in faith, he can do things. When those that come to the Lord must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, the problem is we don't diligently seek him. Now, when I thought about what that friend was, that man, it was just an acquaintance. I just met him yesterday. He wants to know what's wrong. Why does the church not get its prayers answered? I mean, if you got a senior pastor of a church, or any pastor, I told him the story. I said there was a man up north in Tulsa a few years ago that was, I will not call his name because it would be on the tape, and I don't want that to happen. But he had a problem, and they thought he was going to die. And they prayed and prayed and prayed, and he got worse. So they called me. Somebody that went to that church knew me. And they called me, and they wanted to know if I would come up to Oklahoma City or Tulsa, whichever one it was, and pray for this pastor. I said, well, I will if the wife is in agreement. I knew he was married. In fact, I went to a meeting here in Dallas one time myself, and he was there at the meeting. And so I knew his wife and him, but not very well. But anyway, whenever they wanted me to come, I said, I will if the wife agrees. And she says, what makes you think, when I talked to her, she said, what makes you think that your prayers are going to get answered? I said, well, the first thing that I will do, I will remit his sin. I said, that's why we don't get our prayers answered, because we don't remit sin. And she had a real problem with that. She said, well, I'll pray about this, but I don't think that we're going to need your help. And so I didn't go. They never contacted me again after that. But let me tell you, I don't care whether you're you or me or whoever, anybody can get out of a love walk. You know, and when you get out of a love walk, that's what God sent the church to do, is to, in other words, I can't think of the number of people. Cheryl would be the closest one to me that would be able to tell you. When I pray for someone, as many times we pray over the internet and everything else, how often do I remit or forgive people's sins before I command the demons to leave? How many times do I do that? Every time. So if Jesus told me and you that he had power to forgive sin, and he did do that, did he not? If he said, and then if he also said that the things that he does, we can do also, does that mean we have power to forgive sin? So why don't we use that? Why don't we use that more? Now, the people that are sick and afflicted, I don't know why, you know, that they're there. But I do know. Now, and another thing, too, that gentleman that I was talking to yesterday afternoon at the healing school, he said, until I come up on your teaching on forgiving sin, I'd never heard that statement. So he said, when I heard you say that we have the power to forgive sin, he said, I went to my brother, or one of, I think it was his brother, which is also a senior pastor of a very nice big church here in the Metroplex. And I asked him, do you believe that you have the power to forgive sin? And he said, absolutely not. No. He said, well, this scripture that Pastor Thurman Scribner uses says he does, and he uses it all the time. He said, well, I believe he's wrong. I don't believe that you have that kind of power. Now, these signs will follow the believing believer. As Jesus said so many times, as a man believeth or thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, you know, if you don't believe you can do what Jesus said, in other words, that's just like healing the sick. There's a scripture, many places in the Bible, where it says, and these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name, all you got to do is lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. But I've learned that sometimes when I lay hands on the sick, they don't get well because there's a sin there that hadn't been taken care of. So over the years, as I've learned these things, I start where I with what I've learned. And the first thing I do is whenever somebody calls or emails us or whatever, and Cheryl and I, it's amazing how little information sometimes some people give and they want you to pray. And then there's others, they write a book. I mean, so, you know, I'm telling you the truth. You know, there's some, I mean, you get I've had people write 8, 10, 12, 15 pages of information to try to tell me what's going on in their life. And that's good. I got to have some information, but then there's another one that'll call and write, and they put everything in one line, and they want me to get their whole family healed and saved and delivered and all that stuff but with one line. But anyway, you do the best you can with what you got. If you don't have enough, you can always write them back. But the thing that you need to learn how to do, as you walk in love, that is the secret to the whole thing. Without walking in love, nothing works. Nothing works. Lord, I mean, I don't understand why this is, but I know that you have to have that love walk. If you don't have that love walk, nothing works. And so when you get that love walk down, then when you're going to pray for somebody, the first thing you need to do, especially if they're not conscious, you need to remit their sin. Even just like Paula, I didn't have any idea what she had done or her husband had done, but I know that they're two human beings. And if you're two human beings, is it possible for two human beings that are married to get out of a love walk? Of course, you can get out of it real easy. It's real easy to get out of that love walk. So the very first thing I did when I prayed for her, when Rick brought me that picture and I saw how bad she was tore up, my first words out of my mouth was, Father, I remit Paula's sin. I don't know what they are, but I know you know what they are, so I ask you to forgive her. And then for her husband, Rick, I don't know what he might have done, but I remit his sin. And I thank you, Father, for forgiving both of them. Now then, I'm going to ask you to restore Paula's body, make her completely well, from the top of her head, do a supernatural healing on Paula, and make her well in Jesus' name. And as soon as he went home and told her that, what did she say? What happened? Jesus healed her right there. What, you reckon that girl was a happy camper? Amen. We give God the glory for that, don't we, Paul? I'm telling you. But if you learn to do that, always make sure you're walking your love walk. I remember, I add things to it every once in a while, but I remember a gentleman, and he's here today. He called me one day and told me he had a terrible growth in the top of his mouth. And he was in sad shape, and he thought, when he looked at it, it was so big and so bad, a growth, tumor, whatever you want to call it. He had already thought, I'm going to call in the family and get my house in order because I'm probably not going to be here very much longer. That's how bad it looked. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit got him and he says, I just thought, how many times have I been to the Living Savior Church and heard Pastor Thurman talk about the healing power of Jesus? How many times have I had that? And here I am, I was thinking about punching out. I was thinking about calling the doctor. Let's go 911. He said, I ain't going to do that. I'm going to give Jesus first shot. Now, should we all give Jesus first shot?
Amen.
Absolutely. So he called me. It was a Saturday afternoon, and Cheryl and I was out to dinner with a couple. And he called me and got me on the phone, and just as we pulled up to their house, he told me what the problem was. I said, okay. So I told him, I said, just hang on. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I remit all of, and I called his name. I said, Lord, I remit all of his sins. I remit all of his family members' sins. I remit my sin. I remit Cheryl's sin. I remit this couple that's with us sin, because we're all in the same car. I said, I remit all of our sins. I said, now, Lord, I ask you to wash us all in the blood, cleanse us and purify us. You know, the cleaner and the purer you get, the better off you are. So when you come before the Father for your answer, the devil has absolutely nothing to accuse you of. Nothing. So, and that's what I made sure I covered. Everything. All the bases. I said, okay, now, Lord, I ask you to do a supernatural healing on this man's mouth, heal him, and make everything work like he's supposed to. And I said, Lord, we want to give you all the praise and glory and thank you for a complete healing of this man. I called his name before the throne of God, and I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I said, I'll see you tomorrow at church. He said, I'll be there. The next afternoon at 2 o'clock, as I'm sitting back there on the back, he walks in, shoots down beside me, and looks, puts his arm around my neck and said, Thurman, you really know how to make Jesus real in a man's life.
Amen.
I said, what happened? He said, that tumor went completely away in just a little while. Is that what happened? Is that what happened?
That's what happened.
That's what happened. Isn't that amazing? Walk in, I see, yeah, there he sits, right there. See, so when you tell the story and he agrees with you, you know I ain't just feeding you some nonsense, right?
That's right.
Whenever we talk, we know what we're doing. We know that Jesus is the real healer. And we know how to get our prayers answered because he tells us to walk in love. That should be the thing that we all should do. I've got to get better at it. You got to get better at it. We got to make sure that we turn our lives over to him and let him be in charge of our life, that we're leading and following him and not that we're trying to do it ourselves. Because when you try to do it yourself, you just added something to Jesus and you just fell from grace. Now you got to keep all the law. And like Dave said a while ago, there ain't no human being alive can keep all the law. Nobody can keep all the law. But people are trying. They're trying their best. I have people all the time that question me about those questions that they question Dave about. And I said, well, one thing about it, in Christ, I have the freedom to do whatever I want to do, and you have the freedom to do whatever you want to do. So if you want to worship on Monday or Sunday or Tuesday or whatever, it's totally up to you. So if you want to produce fruit on Thursday, that's okay. If you don't want to produce any fruit at all, that's just your privilege too. But if you don't produce any fruit at all, I know what the results are on that. You get cut off. And that man that was here yesterday, he said, you're the only pastor I have ever heard in my life. And he said, I've heard a lot of Bible teaching, but you're the only man I ever heard to say that if you don't do what God says, he'll kill you. I said, but the Word says that lots of places. He said, I realize that, but he said, I had never seen those until I heard them from you. And you said that the Word says, if you don't produce fruit for the kingdom, he'll cut you off. Is that written? So what should that inspire you to do? Get to work, right? You know what that reminds me of? Most of y'all never been in the cattle business. But I used to raise cattle. And I had one of those long rods, you know, that had the little pointers on the end of it. If you take an old 1,500-pound bull, he knows that you're no match for him. So he's a little hard and arrogant to get along with, and he reaches out there and he paws on the ground a little bit, and you just reach up right between the eyes. But let me tell you what, you talk about a bull falling in line. He can fall, and you can give him an incentive to do something good for the kingdom. That's kind of the way God does us. If we don't do something for the kingdom, he knows how to put the zipper on you, doesn't he? He can really zip you. But you know, that is something to think about. that when we pray, do we really expect God to answer our prayer? In fact, in Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, let's see, is it 7 or 8?
I can't.
No, it's before, it's been Matthew 7, where he's talking about ask and you shall receive. Which one is that? Matthew 7, 17? Oh, 7 and 8. Matthew 7, 7. Okay. Read those two scriptures, Matthew. Put it on the board and
ask,
read.
And it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Okay, now I want Cheryl to go back and read that whole thing one more time and listen intently at what she's saying.
Ask, and it shall be given you.
Well, did you hear, what did she just say?
Ask.
And it shall be given, it shall. Okay, read on a little further, honey.
Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh...
How many?
Everyone. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Okay, now, with a set of promises like that, why did we ever go anywhere for anything other than to the Lord? I mean, did he say you could ask for anything?
Yeah, sure did.
There's got to be a why. Why do we not go? Why do we not knock? Why do we not, when something happens to us, just like Dave, I'll give you a little bit of his testimony. When we started praying for Dave, he had eczema all over his body. A year later, he's worse than he ever was. I mean, he looked awful. How many of you was here and saw that whole thing of Dave as Dave was trying to get healed? Anybody remember it? Sure. You're the only one. So if you didn't see that, when we started praying for Dave, I mean, he had eczema for 40 years. He'd been sick. He was born with it. He had that eczema all over his body. I told him when I met him, I said, Dave, if you will do what I tell you to do from God's word, I guarantee you Jesus will heal you. And of course, his first thing out of his mouth was, Pastor, you can't guarantee God will do anything. But can I?
Amen.
So why, now then, it's nothing uncommon now at all to hear Dave in his office, just like he was talking about a while ago, taking a prayer call and I hear him say, somebody said, well, I got this or I got that. He says, sir, if you'll listen and pay attention, if you'll do what I tell you, I guarantee Jesus will heal you. Well, now I'm not sure I believe that. Well, now he's got to get around that. He's got to show them why it don't work. And he's really learning how to lock on to that walking in love and those two covenants. If you don't walk in love, you ain't going to get much from God. Do what, huh?
Love with yourself.
Oh, yeah, you got to love yourself. You know, you got to love yourself. In other words, when you look at yourself, and I say, and Cheryl and I go through this every day. Every day. Do you love yourself? Well, I mean, maybe, but that won't get it. Well, I hope I do. Or, no, that won't get it. No. When I ask you, do you love yourself, you know what should bounce right off of your lips?
Yes.
That's it. Every one of you, that, yes, Lord, I love my... Oh, he said, so you like the way I made you?
Yeah.
And you say, yes, Lord, I love the way you made me. Do you know it pleases the Lord whenever you say you love yourself because he made you?
That's right.
I mean, he spent a lot of time designing you. He spent 9 months fearfully making you in the womb. Fearfully and wonderfully, you're knitted together. And he wants you to love what he made.
Yes.
And that's what he wants. He don't make no junk. He didn't make all of us, he didn't make all of us to lift 800 pounds like he did you. But he made us for something, didn't he?
For his purpose.
For his purpose and his glory. When you realize it's not you that this is about. It ain't barren that this is about. It's about Jesus and what he can do in us. Yeah, this is the secret. In fact, yesterday I was amazed how long it took me to respond. There was a lady sitting right over here with her husband, and there was a spirit. Who was here saw that? Okay. That spirit began to take authority on that woman, began to really nag at her, and she started making noises and couldn't talk and nothing else, and coughing and just coughing and coughing. And I sat here for a little while thinking, I'm a son of God. I can do the same things Jesus did. Jesus told me to go over and lay hands on that woman and heal her. So it took me amazing how long it took me to think to do that. And I'm supposed to know to do that instantly. So I go around there, lay my hands on the lady, command the spirit to leave in just a few minutes, and what happened? She didn't cough another lick. We all got to see Jesus heal that lady right here. That confirms that he tells us to do something. I mean, so I can do something. In other words, first thing you got to do is walk in love. That's the first thing, right? So if you walk in love, and then you go and remit her sins. I don't know what her sins are, but she couldn't talk. Her husband wasn't talking much. So I have authority. I'm a son of God. I have the power. This is a mystery that was hidden before the foundation of the world. Christ in me, the hope of glory. If you have Christ in you, you got the greatest power on earth inside of you.
Amen.
So you should be able to lay hands on the sick. You should be able to remit their sins. You should be able to tell the devil's after to go. After you do what you've done, after you have put your hands on them, or especially after you've remitted their sins, when you remit their sin, you put your hands on that person, then you take authority over those spirits that are causing her problem. All through the scripture, you'll see Jesus putting his hands on people and commanding the spirits to leave. Is that right?
Yes.
So if Jesus did it that way, you can do it that way. Just take his example. But when you do it, you got to do something in faith. You can't do it thinking, gee, I hope this works. What am I going to do if it don't work? And the devil, he'll do it to you every time. I mean, from the very second that I finally decided I'm going to go over and pray for this woman, as soon as I started to go around the corner here, kept hearing this little voice. What if he don't show up this time? What if he don't show up for you? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You have any idea who that might be? We know who that is, don't we, Miss Jackie? And we know that he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. No truth in him. But Carrie, you know that well, don't you? I mean, it happened to you too, so you know exactly when I tell you these stories, you know, because you remember that day Miss Carrie was going to pray for, and her husband was going to pray for a relative that was sick and afflicted in hospice. And when they went down there to pray, and she walked in and looked and saw this person in hospice, the first thought was, oh my gosh, she looks awful. And Jesus knew her face just went from bam, took a nosedive. So he intervened. He wanted that girl healed so bad, he spoke to Miss Carrie and says, Carrie, Lazarus was been dead 4 days when Jesus raised him from the dead. This lady's still alive, so she's a piece of cake. So what'd that do to your faith? Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing
how the King wants us to do things, and when our faith falls off, he interjects that power right back in there. Jesus, I mean, Lazarus had been dead 4 days when Jesus raised him from the dead, and this woman's still alive, so it's going to be no problem for her. Oh goodness. Yes,
absolutely. Nobody had ever come out.
Nobody had ever come out of that hospice. Isn't that a shame? Here we got all these Christian people, and this couple had to go from Dallas to Florida to pray for that relative. to think that there was nobody in the church down there that knew them that was willing to go out and lay hands on that woman, remit her sins, cast out the spirit, and pray the prayer of faith for her. When they sent the hospice out, it's over. Just let her die. We're dying every day because we can't find nobody. When the Lord says the workers are few. Are we few? We're way too few, aren't we? I think that we need to change that.
Amen.
I mean, here's the thing you want to learn. When you start to pray for somebody, the very first thing you want to do is you want to remit their sin.
And yours.
Oh, yeah. That's, and yours. You want to, but that's the first thing you want to do. If you want to remit your sins first, that's okay. But you want to remit your sins and whoever you're going to pray over. You want to forgive their sins. And after you do that, then after you've done that, technically speaking, when you remit their sins, the devil has no more legal right once the sin's been taken care of. So after you know how this works and you remit the sins of yourself and the person that you're going to pray for, then you lay your hands on them and say, now I take authority, according to Luke 10, 19, and 20, I take authority and I command and demand every spirit of curse, every foul, wicked spirit of hell, everything except the Holy Spirit has got to come out of this woman, go to the abyss, and never come back.
Amen.
You don't want to forget that. Jesus was very careful in some places when he said, I command the spirit to come out and go into the abyss and never come back. Never. So you want to make sure you don't forget that. Because if you don't, that spirit, you may throw it out, and then in a few minutes or the next day, it comes back with seven more worse than it prefers than his brother. And we don't want that, do we? So after you prayed, after you've taken authority, after you kicked out the devil, after you've done all the things the Lord did, then he says, now lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Is that what he said? So now then, you've done all these other things, and like we said a while ago, it wouldn't hurt if you remit your sins, and after that, ask the Lord to wash you and her or him in the blood. Because boy, when he dips you under that red blood and pulls you out, you're clean and pure and white and perfect, and there is no sin left. Now then, you got to remember, you're going through a court of law. You're going to the third heaven, just like Paul said. And when you get to the third heaven, you want to make sure that you're clean and pure, and the person you're going in there with is clean and pure, and their sins are covered in the blood. If they are, then if you know all that, then you can lay hands on them and command that spirit to leave and say, now, Father, I laid hands on this person, and they're healed in Jesus' name. If you believe that, now, when you start to leave, don't forget, there'll always be this little voice that says, it won't work for you this time. And so, you know, you'll stop and think about this. And some people will say, I can't believe I wasted my whole afternoon coming down here to pray for this sick person. I mean, they'll do that. I mean, who am I? That's the whole problem. Like I told Dave, when you realize who you are, a son of God. That's just like one night when we'd done this two or three times, but one night we'd been over to, I can't think of that place over in Louisiana, praying, preaching.
Shreveport.
We'd been over to Shreveport, and about 1 o'clock in the morning, we're flying a 421, coming back across there to the northwest. And just as we get down into the pattern, you might say, the controller said, there's not anybody out here, so you're the only one out. So he said that you're cleared to land in northwest. So he frequency approved change proof. So we went to another frequency and everything, and I said, Lord, started slowing down to about 200 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, I started seeing flashes of light. And as I'm lowering the landing lights and everything, and I think, what's that? Dave looked and said, Pastor, we're going into a tremendous fog. And they said, I looked at the computer, and Denton is closed. It's 00. The visibility is 00. Well, that's just 5 miles north of where we're going to land. He said, you want me to set you up for an ILS approach to Alliance? I said, no, Dave. I don't want you to do that because I said, if we land over there, that means we've got to call somebody at 1 o'clock in the morning or 1:30 to come pick us up. and then takes us home. And in the morning, we got to come back, get the airplane, and go through this whole, it'd take a half a day to do all that. I said, we're sons of God. All the promises of God belong to us. So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, David and I are your sons. We're walking in obedience to your word. We believe. We're walking in love. So I said, I'm fixing to need to turn left. And according to my GPS screen, I only got about 3 miles, and I need to be turning in left to line up with Northwest, runway 17. So I want to thank you for opening the sky. When I make that turn, I want to thank you for opening the sky, making a straight quarter, straight right to the end of the runway, so I can land there tonight in a beautiful, clear night. Thank you, Lord, it's done. And I flew up there and made that left turn. And as we're beginning to turn, all of a sudden Dave looked out and he says, look at that, look at that. There's Northwest right there. It's clear. There's the lights, everything. We go right in. I said, Lord, I need it to be clear right up to the end of the runway. Well, you got to be careful. That's exactly what happened. It was perfectly clear to the end of the runway. Remember, this is a kingdom of faith. Whatever you say is what you're going to have. And so as we come over the end of the fence there, I mean, all of a sudden, we're about 10 foot high over the fence. And just as we come over the fence, that's the end of the runway. And boy, the fog went 0-0, just like that. Well, I know the runway's there. I just saw it. So I just go ahead and let it down. We touch down. We roll out. Go down to the far end, turn around, come back up the other side. Can't hardly find the crossings. It's so thick. We get up there and get in the car, put the hangar in the car and the hangar and everything. And when we get out, we get in the car. Cheryl gets out and gets the car pulled out of the hangar. We get in the car, and I almost have to get out and walk along the front of the car to find the road, to find out how to get out of the airport. The fog was that thick. But I asked God to clear that sky, and he did it. And Dave said that after he watched that. This has been several years ago. He said, Pastor, you know a God that I don't even know exists. You see what I mean? He said, how did you do this? I said, by faith in his word. How did you get this kind of faith? I said, by studying 5 to 15 hours a week, every week in God's word. He said, I'm going to do it. And he has. He has now done that. He has met that. And Dave sees God do awesome things. And a few years ago, he didn't have any idea how to get healed or nothing. But boy, he knows how to get it done now. Isn't that amazing? We live in a kingdom of faith. I mean, we have so many testimonies by so many people that when we walk in love and walk in faith, how many times do we get our prayers answered when we're walking in love and faith? All the time. Every time. Every time you pray, he answers. Isn't that amazing? Wow. What time is it?
4:10.
4 what?
4:10.
Oh, okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you.
I pray for President Trump and the North Korea conference tomorrow. I mean, Tuesday.
Oh, okay. We're going to pray for that.
Yes.
Yeah, because the president's going to have a meeting with the North Korean people tomorrow. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're going to ask you to show those people on Tuesday. We ask you to show President Trump and the North Korean president, or whatever you call them, that you would show them what to do and how to do it so that we can live in peace.
Yes.
Lord, you told us, the church, to pray for the leaders so that we could live in peace.
Yes.
And Lord, we want everybody to live in peace. We don't want no crazy things happening. We want everybody to walk in love. Now, we rebuke the enemy.
Yes.
We command the enemy to get his hands off all those leaders and all those men that don't have a clue who he is. But Lord, we know who you are. And so you told your church, if we would ask, that you would do great things for us. So we thank you for changing the world, making this be the most awesome, greatest week in history. I mean, magnificent things happen. People come to know you as Lord and Savior. And I don't know what you're going to do, Lord, but I know with you there ain't nothing impossible. You can do anything and everything, and you can change the world. And Lord, we don't want to cut you short. We want you to do what you want to do, and so that your son, Jesus, may be glorified. And whatever you need us to do, Lord, just show us and then help us to have the faith to walk in love to make it happen. Lord, we give you praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving because you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And I thank you for blessing everybody. I thank you for blessing the people that come to this church. I thank you for answering all the prayers that you answered. I thank you for the man that was here yesterday with the rotocuff that he couldn't lift his arm up, and we touched him in Jesus' name, and instantly his arm was straight up. I thank you, Lord, for healing that man. I thank you for all the healings you did yesterday, Lord. I thank you for being a merciful God. How grateful we are, and I thank you for Paula's healing. Thank you, Lord, you've done such a beautiful job on her face and her hands. Everything, her hand was all bloody and everything, but you fixed it all. And you, but that's the God you are. When we remit our sins, we walk in love. That's what you do. You are the King. And you're our King. And we thank you for showing us how to walk in love and not walk in any kind of sin so we can get our prayers answered every time we come to you. So we give you all the praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. My prayer warriors, if they would stand up so you'll know who to go to if you need to be prayed for, need any kind of answer, well, these are the folks you need to be praying with. And if you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a gray box over there on the wall. You can just put your donation in some envelopes over there if you need it. And if you don't need anything, you can just be dismissed to get you some CDs and DVDs. Take as many as you like. You can have them and just take them and listen to them and share them with your friends. And if you don't need anything, well, you're dismissed and come back to see us next Sunday and we'll start again on how to walk in love. Amen. Okay? Praise the Lord. Have a great week.